Take our scripture text today from 1 John 5, 1 through 6. And it is easily called the love chapter, or one of the love chapters in the Bible, in the New Testament. And actually, if you just read the whole of 1 John, you could call it that. 1 John 4 and 5 especially are gifts of love. Listen to this word of the Lord. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Whoever loves someone is a parent, whoever loves someone who is a parent loves the child born to the parent. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep God's commandments. This is the love of God. We keep God's commandments. Those commandments are not difficult, because everyone who is born from God defeats the world. And this is the victory that has defeated the world, our faith. Who defeats the world? Isn't it the one who believes that Jesus is God's Son? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises in a little bit. I think that's one you'll know. You know that one, right? Of course. You will probably sing it, but will you mean it? Will you mean it when you pray it, when you say it? God's promises are infinitely more worthy of our trust than human promises. Okay? Even the promises that our mothers make, God's promises are better. Our houses, our land, and other things are part of the premises, not the promises. That's the house. Our loved ones and the time we spend together are the home. Big difference in house and home. Home is based on the promises. House is based on the premises. House and home are different. That's my point. Realtors talk about buying a home because they're not trying to sell you a house. They're not trying to sell you the premises. They're trying to sell you on the promises of how happy you'll be when you buy that home. Right? Well, we know it's Mother's Day. But in some of our modern liturgical calendars, today is called the Festival of the Christian Home. The Festival of the Christian Home. And that's based on promises. They say love at first sight is easy to understand when it's when two people have been looking at each other for years that it becomes a miracle. That's a quote from Sam Levinson, who wrote, "You don't have to be in who's who to know what's what." And we know that when you fall in love, you can be in love in an emotional place, but when you have done that for a few years and you begin to have a family and you begin to have all those challenges of promises and family life, that's when loving becomes a miracle. A Western Union boy interrupted a wedding reception with a telegram one time, and the best man, who was handed the telegram, opened it up and announced, "It's a scripture reference for the bride and groom, John 4:18. And that's all it says. The reference was actually supposed to be 1 John 4:18, which is close to what we read this morning from 1 John, where it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." But what does Western Union know about 1 John or John or any other book in the Bible? So the telegram simply read John 4:18, And with the New Testament in hand, one of the guests at the wedding turned to that verse and read from the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And he said, now in the middle of this wedding feast, he said, "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband now." Sometimes the messages can get jumbled and it's hard to understand. But perfect love is never really perfect. Only God's love is perfect. Ours is going to be imperfect no matter what. Our love is full. Our world is full of statements of love and statements about love. We've got love songs, love perfumes, love manuals, love stories, don't we? Love's a very popular concept. But perfect love, the kind that casts out fear, is not earthbound. And while it's common, it's sometimes easy to ignore. Perfect love is that love that gives of itself to another person and then forgets the debt. A better way to put this is that we love God because God first loved us. And if that's true, then we ought also to love one another. That's also in 1 John. Jesus Christ is perfect love. When Jesus is the master of our lives, then perfect love dwells within us. And it is a force that enables us to be sensitive to the needs of others and to desire to fill those needs. It's a motivating power that enables us to give strength and peace. It is a you love before a me love. Big difference. Matter of perspective. With a child, it says, "I love you as you are. But as you grow older, I will be loosening the apron strings so that you can develop into your own person." With parents, some of us with aging parents, it says, "I love you and will try to act in a way that will help you and will make you proud of me." With a spouse, it says, "I love you and I want you to be happy and to achieve the fullest stature of your being, to be all that God has made you to be." Love isn't primarily a result, but a cause. It causes people to grow toward happiness. It's not primarily a product, but it does produce. It produces fulfilled people and whole people. Perfect love is Christ flowing through us. The secret to perfect love is having a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners and our friend. I invite you to embrace His perfect love today. You've been a member of this church for a long time, most of you. I invite you to welcome Jesus' spirit of unearned, undeserved love. And put that to fruit in your love, in your home and family, and in your world. Because it is contagious. It will spread. I invite you today, as every day, to embrace this perfect love. Not because we are perfect, but because God's love is perfect. I invite you not just to embrace it, but to engrace it. To put grace into action for your sake and for the sake of those around you. To praise God fully, we must suppose ourselves to be in perfect love with God, drowned in it, dissolved by it, and by that delight which flows out from us, from God, in perfect expression of that love. If our love is genuine, it will be expressed, it will show. Or you can look at it this way, as sowing the seeds of love. Somebody can tell me what movie this was from. Pretty is as pretty does. You chuckle. You know it's Forrest Gump. Pretty is as pretty does. Well, I guess it's fair to say love is as love does. And let's just go ahead and quote Forrest Gump and say that we can be judged by our fruits. All of our goodness is not dependent on our fruits, But if that goodness is real and that love is planted deep and nurtured within us, it is going to bear fruit. I encourage you to live love until love grows inside of you. See, we can step out front of our feelings. We can act beyond, just beyond the edge of our comfort, just beyond the edge of what we're really motivated to do. We can act a little beyond that and grow. We can stretch love. And I invite us to know that when we stretch that love, it's going to grow. It's going to grow not only in the fruit of our labors, but it's going to grow in us as well and in our homes and in our families. C.S. Lewis wrote this in Mere Christianity, one of the best Christian books of all time. Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. And as soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets of life. When we are behaving as if we love someone, we will presently come to love them. Does that work in a home and in a marriage? I think so, if we persist. If you injure someone that you dislike, you will find yourself disliking them more. If you do him a good turn, though, you will find yourself disliking him less. Now, that's C.S. Lewis. And I think they're wise words. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Sometimes our hearts bleed for another. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung out sometimes and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, then you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. You wrap it carefully around with hobbies and luxuries, and you avoid all entanglements. And in so doing, you lock it up safe in the coffin of your selfishness. Oh yeah, you have some selfishness. So do I. We keep it at bay a lot of the time, but it's still there, and sometimes it rises up. But when you and we embrace that selfishness, it becomes more powerful. In fact, it can become unbreakable if we embrace it and expect it and hold it close. There are examples of love all around us. We might as well look, though, at those closest to us. The examples that we see may be positive ones or maybe negative ones, but they can still teach us either way. One ingenious teenager got tired of reading bedtime stories to his little sister. He decided to record her several of her favorite stories. And he told her, "Now you can hear my voice and hear the stories anytime you want to, whether I'm here or not. Isn't that great?" And she took a look at the iPod that he was holding just for a moment and said, "No, it hasn't got a lap." What we treasure and what we embrace is what we love. When we give a gift to someone as a gift of ourselves and a gift of hope that brings us to our knees sometimes in humility, it brings us gratitude, but it's also something that is our offering to God through Christ. Love comes from spending valuable time with another person or with God. Whether it's a friend or God or your mother, love comes and love shows itself when we spend time there. When we spend time maybe just sitting in God's lap for a while, what would that be like? Maybe that's what meditation really means. I have no doubt that all of you, many of you at least, pray. But I wonder if your prayers include listening. Just sitting in God's lap and spending time like you would your mother if you were a small child. Time of closeness. Maybe sitting in someone's lap is not the best of images for you, but it does express some intimacy, doesn't it? Maybe that's the part that's uncomfortable to you. It might help to imagine God as mother instead of father. There's nothing heretical about that, because God is as motherly as God is male. God is beyond human understanding of gender. And God's gift to us is spirit, which can come in a myriad of forms. Like the little boy that was examining his mother's eyes, for several minutes he just looked into her eyes. And his mother was intrigued at his focus and his attention. And then he spoke after some time. He said, "You have beautiful eyes, Mommy." "What do you see in my eyes?" she said. And he moved in even closer. And he said, "I see my face." It may be the best of compliments when someone says, "I see myself in you." Imitation is, after all, the best kind of flattery. No mother is perfect, and no pastor is perfect, and some people should not be imitated at all. But the best way for all of us to live is to live so that God's reflection is seen in our eyes. When we look at someone and smile, that they would look at us and see the love of God, and that love of God would be stronger than our own wishes or feeble desires. On the whole, and this is another C.S. Lewis quote, on the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for Him. Let us all seek the treasures of God's love. Let us welcome it in ourselves, and let us embrace it in those around us. And maybe, just maybe, we can live in such a way that people can see the reflection of God in our eyes. Make it so, Lord Jesus. Amen.